We're starting now. This is the Monday of the very first week in what's called ordinary time. Ordinary because it's not Advent or Lent or something else. I'm thinking of just going through the letter to the Hebrews with you. It's so beautiful. But then when I was reading the gospel, I thought, wow. Anyway, I'm going to start. This letter to the Hebrews, nobody knows who wrote it. There have been guesses since the first century. But as Origen says, who's one of the greatest commentators who ever lived, as to the knowledge of the author, nobody knows, only God knows. But it's a masterpiece. And it's perhaps the most sophisticated Greek in the whole of the New Testament. It's a literary masterpiece, but it's also a spiritual and mystical masterpiece. And it has to do with all the implications of the incarnation and the passion and resurrection. And they're placed basically in the context of the liturgy of Yom Kippur, when the high priest goes once a year into the sanctuary with blood, as the author points out, not his own. Only Jesus did that. And Jesus enters the heavenly sanctuary and obtains for us an eternal redemption. That's basically the theme of this letter. So it starts setting the scene. Brothers and sisters, in times past, God spoke in partial and various ways, is the way they translate it here, to our ancestors, to our fathers. Don't want to say fathers because the women would get mad, I guess, but it's to our fathers. In these last days, he spoke to us through the Son. How did he speak through the Son? That's how much I love you. That's how much I will free you from your darkness and sin and bring you to eternal life. That's how much. So he spoke to us through the Son, whom he made heir of all things, and through whom he created the universe. I meant to say also, there's probably no one who handles the Old Testament with such masterful knowledge as this man. So now he quotes the Book of Wisdom to say, Jesus is the wisdom of God. All the wisdom of the Old Testament is a partial explanation, a partial manifestation of who he is. Who is the refulgence, this is Jesus, the refulgence of his glory, the very imprint of his being, and who sustains all things by his mighty word. When he had accomplished purification from sins, he took his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, as far superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Well, what name would that be? What name would that be that he inherited, which is so Son? Son, in a unique way, from all eternity, infinitely, he is Son. And then he became man. See, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my Son, this day I have begotten you? What's that day? That's the day of eternity. This, as I say this, it's so beautiful. Or again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me forever. And again, and now he's talking about the incarnation, when he leads the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. That's the word of the Lord for today. Do you see? This person has such a mystical understanding of the Old Testament. He's using this to start us off. So who is Jesus? You see? Jesus is the refulgence of the Father's glory. He's the very imprint of the Father's being. He sustains all things by his mighty word. This is the one who died for us. This is the one who teaches us. And this is the one who completed that gift of the Father to the Jews, the whole sacrificial system. It's over now. Because Jesus has come to complete it. Now before, I know you got to go to the clinic, but I'm just, before the incarnation, those who used the sacrificial system given to them by God, it was an image of what is to come. So, as the philosopher Aristotle says, moving toward the image insofar as it is an image is really moving toward the reality itself. And so, Aquinas concludes, the Jews were part of Christ's body even before he came. Now the challenge is, now that he's come, you can't cling to those old things anymore. You've got to be part of the new dispensation. And that has been the challenge for 2,000 years. Dialogue with Jews. It's beautiful. It's God-given, but it's been surpassed by the unthinkable. God became man. God was born of a woman. And that's why every birth is sacred. And that's why we're up early this morning to pray for that and to prepare those going out to witness. So let us stand and pray.